From inside the WAER studios.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside! He scores the game winner! Give the assist to Don Mattona! Syracuse wins!
Finds Guerrier, open, drives baseline, goes up, and hammers it home! Quincy Guerrier, hello!
And it's intercepted! Andre Sisco!
Flings it from 75 feet past the scoreboard, and he connected! Elijah Hughes throws up a prayer at the buzzer! And somehow it's answered.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
The Orange, take the Camping World Bowl.
Syracuse gets the program signature win it always needed. Perhaps the biggest upset in program history.
Taj Harris passed the 45. He's past midfield. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Syracuse.
And one, Joe Girard.
Three ball, Buddy Boeheim. He got all three of them. Huge shot from Buddy.
Pass point. Black got it. Game winner. Brendan Curry with the winner.
Hughes left wing charges and slams with the right hand.
Killing a three at the buzzer. Oh, it's good. He made it.
And here's your hosts, Owen Valentine and Ben Shulman.
Welcome into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Alongside Ben Shulman, I'm Owen Valentine, and we got a glimpse of live Syracuse sports once again last week with Boeheim's Army and TBT, and that run came to a close in the quarterfinals, but that tournament coming to a close showed that sports can happen with everything going on, and with that in mind, we're going to take a look into the future. So we don't care when football returns. Well, we do, but not in terms of this episode. We're talking the 2021 Syracuse football recruiting class. So we're talking the rising high school seniors. And 24/7 has Syracuse's recruiting class at number 54 in the nation. And Ben, that kind of seems like where we've become accustomed to seeing those Syracuse recruiting classes fall.
Yeah, 2020 was really the year to make a jump. Unfortunately, when you come off a season like the Orange had right now, 5-7, just two wins in the ACC, that's not going to scream success to recruits. So you do what you can. And I do think that there are guys in this class that might be underrated and potentially they could be higher. Syracuse, as you said, 24/7 has them at 54th and I think 14th, dead last in the ACC. I think they may not be the worst, but obviously they have some ground to make up on some of these other schools who had much better seasons last year. And because of that, we're able to get better classes.
I definitely think that if you came off of 2018, that 10-win season, and you started to win a few more games early on, that this class could have been a little bit different. But you're seeing guys signing in a period where they see that Syracuse has been struggling. They've got some coaching mishaps. So it makes a little bit of sense to me to see that it's right in that 54 range where you've kind of seen them. They've fallen between 50 and 60 the last five years. And it's actually been since 2007 since they've cracked the top 50. So they've been right on the brink, but haven't quite been able to get inside the top 50. And it seems like a fitting recruiting class. I don't think I'm too shocked to see them find themselves right at 54, but I think there's definitely some room for them to improve. But a couple of guys that I think jump off the page, including, you know, the most recent quarterback signing in Justin Lamson, who we'll get into towards the end of the episode. But there's a couple of other guys that I think could be some sleepers when you look a couple of years ahead.
Definitely. And before I get into specifics, just to mention as well, generally about recruiting, I think that although everyone has to deal with the effects of the pandemic, a guy like Dino Babers makes his money on relationships, and without the ability to really get in person, bring people into the facility, show them what Syracuse football is all about, I think that really hampers the program. So all things considered, I don't want to slight them too much, but to move to a guy who I think Syracuse made a major pickup in, defensive tackle Terry Lockett. He was their first signing this season, and he had offers from Michigan. He had an offer from Buffalo, and he had some interest from BC. He's from Springfield, Massachusetts. But the Orange were able to land him, and I've been looking at some of his tapes. The guy's an animal. Syracuse needs some help on the D-line after losing some major figures on it like Alton Robinson and Kendall Coleman. And Terry Lockett, he simply wants the football. You could see through his high school tape, he's chasing down rushers, on the other side of the field. He goes for the ball when he gets after the quarterback. He's running after popped up balls to make interceptions on the line. there's a high intensity to his game that I think is really going to be successful in the college game.
I'm going to stay on the defensive end with you. I like a guy, Jashus Gear. I'm not necessarily sure exactly how to say his first name. We're going to go with JT Gear. That's what his Twitter profile has got him at. Defensive end and 6'5", 260. He's a big guy. He's going to be a really strong pass rusher. I think I've watched his highlight tape, and you said he's an animal. I think that's a very similar aspect out of Gear as well. These are going to be two guys that are crucial in making some big replacements. You see Syracuse loses Alton Robinson and Kendall Coleman this year. Next year, they're going to lose the likes of Josh Black, Kingsley Jonathan, and McKinley Williams. So you're going to have three more guys in that role that you're going to need to replace. These are going to be two guys that have a really good opportunity to see snaps early on in their careers. And they seem like two guys that could be ready come 2021, right when they arrive on campus. They're strong. Gear's got really good speed. He gets right after the quarterback. If you get a chance to watch his huddle tape, this man's first three plays are an interception for a touchdown and then two strip sacks. He is unbelievable getting to the quarterback. He's able to go untouched. He's got really good speed for his size. I'm really excited to see what he's going to be able to do in his senior year, because he's even rising right now in his 24/7 rankings. He was an 84 and change in terms of his composite ranking a couple of months ago, and he's already up into the 85 range. So his ranking is slowly rising. I don't think he'll get out of the three-star range, but to see that Gear is kind of rising up and starting to develop a little bit more could be a really good sign for what he could do in his senior year if he plays a football season.
Definitely. I mean, if you're excited about Lampson and you trust 24/7, then you have to be excited about Gear as well, because the rankings are so similar. What I like about Gear the most, I think, is just his size. You know, you don't see a ton of guys that big on defensive end in college football. to have that build and the speed to play on the outside part of the line, you know, that's NFL size. That's legit. And I think that's something about this class that I really enjoy, is that maybe they're not the highest rated, but there are some big bodies. You see right behind Greer, Jalen Moss, the defensive tackle. He's another 6'5", 260 guy. There's a tight end, Landon Morris from Indiana. He's 6'5". And then one of my personal favorites, the big Hawaiian. I'm going to try like to make a little Shane Victorino play on nickname. Instead of the Flying Hawaiian, I'm going to call him the Giant Hawaiian. Austin Kahi, 6'5". 260 pounds, played right tackle in high school, and he's got serious athletic ability. I think the biggest strides that scouts have said he needs to come in are in his technical ability, a lot with his hand work, but Sports Illustrated picked him as a potential sleeper All-American going forward. Mm-hmm. So to see a three-star recruit from Hawaii that commits to Syracuse get talk about being an All-American in the future, that's big news. And when you see Kahi play on the field, he really sticks out, and he's a guy that I'm excited to watch on the Syracuse line.
Yeah, this is still a very tentative recruiting class, 14 commits as of now from 11 states, so pretty widespread recruiting. And just to kind of show how up in the air this 2021 recruiting class still is with late signings and the changes in rankings, as we're recording this podcast, Syracuse just dropped from 54 to 55 in the 2020 commitment rankings.
I'm behind.
It is right as we're speaking, they just dropped from 54 to 55, so still a lot up in the air. But to kind of shine a little bit more light onto some of the details of these incoming guys and the recruiting class as a whole, Ben caught up with Matt Hosworth earlier today from CNY Central. He's their weekend anchor. He's a Syracuse reporter. He's going to report on football and specifies in recruiting. So he was able to shine a little bit more light on a couple of these guys.
I have the pleasure today of being joined by Matt Hosworth. Matt is a sports anchor and reporter for CNY Central. Thanks for joining the program, Matt. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for reaching out. It's not every day you get a student reaching out to me, so it's good to join the show.
At CNY Central, you cover various different sports at different levels, from high school baseball all the way up to college football. How has your work life been affected by the lockdown and quarantine?
Oh man, my work life has changed drastically. I am now anchoring from home, off my cell phone. So I never thought I'd see the day, but I am now doing it on a daily basis. Aside from this week, where I'm enjoying a nice week-long vacation, but yeah, my workflow has changed dramatically. I am, working from home exclusively. They don't even let me in the building. So I'm doing everything on my own. I have my camera with me. I set up interviews on my own. I'm going to do stories on my own. And honestly, it's just been me trying to figure out, you know, what is newsworthy, what's sportsworthy around here right now with no sports going on at the moment. Obviously, we were relieved a little bit with the basketball tournament with Boeheim's Army playing. That was pretty cool to have some sort of live sporting event back. But right now, it's all about telling – well, it's television is always about telling a good story. But right now, in particular, it's really about telling a good story, finding people in the area who, you know, obviously have a big platform in the world of sports, whether it's a former high school athlete or a former college coach, or, you know, checking in with maybe Colgate football because their season just got canceled. There's so many different things. I was just at Oswego Speedway recently talking with them about when they could possibly host fans again to get racing back. There's so many different things in Central New York that we can be reporting on. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I edit everything from home. I have my work computer here. I got it set up in my office and I got graphics that I run on my television screen in my living room. And it's really been, it's been different. It's been tough at times, but it's taught me a lot about this career and perhaps what's the future of this career. And that could be, you know, maybe doing a lot more work from home, especially if a vaccine for this virus is not found, you know, in a short amount of time.
I've seen a lot of the interviews that you've done on Twitter recently, and I think a lot of publications are finding that they're able to book a lot of interviews right now simply because so many people are at home and Zoom is such an easy program or whatever video program you use to try and get a hold of people. Could you see online interviews being something that translates into regular news going forward?
Absolutely. I mean, just how easy it is instead of, you know, instead of meeting up with somebody in person. Now, don't get me wrong. I would still rather meet somebody in person because I think those types of stories, you can really get a feel for the person you're interviewing, the story, the direction the story's going in. But you know, if it, yeah, I mean, it makes it so much easier to do it this way. I don't see why, you know, moving forward, we won't be doing at least, I would say, half of our workload this way. I know we've been doing Zoom calls with the vice president of Sinclair News down in Baltimore, Maryland, and the mandatory Zoom meetings that people company-wide have to join. And, you know, they tell us, you know, this is the newsroom of the future. I mean, this is really what it's going to come down to. Not saying that I won't be anchoring out of the studio. I mean, I think that'll definitely be the case, but they're not going to be afraid to have, you know, send me home for a week if I, you know, if I have to. And especially I'm the only one at our station anchoring sports or anchoring at all from home. So it's, you know, I guess they're kind of using me as a test dummy, but at the same time, I think it's worked out pretty well for us.
Despite the lack of in-person meetings and campus visits, it's been a busy summer for SU football recruiting. Just in general, how do you feel that the summer has gone so far for the Orange?
I think relatively speaking, it's gone pretty well, given the fact that they can't have you know, official visits. Kids kind of have to go out to the university on their own dime. And I mean, listen, they've got, you know, roughly 20 kids committed already. And if you look at this list of where they're from, I mean, you got a kid from Hawaii, you got a kid from California, you got New York City covered, you got South Carolina, Wisconsin. I mean, you got upstate New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts. I mean, they've really gone out pretty far, you know, far and wide to find some of the best players in the country. Now, the other angle to this is that obviously Syracuse football is not known for getting those 4- and 5-star recruits. That's never been their MO. And obviously they would love to have 4- and 5-star recruits, but those kids, generally speaking, go to those bigger schools that have, you know, maybe some nicer facilities or, you know, maybe have a little bit more of a winning tradition. But Syracuse, by and large, has had to make do, recruiting-wise anyway, with kids who are 2- and 3-star players, maybe flying under the radar. And a perfect example of that is the latest quarterback they got to commit, Justin Lampson out of Northern California, just out of Sacramento. You know, this kid had offers from Boise State and Louisville and chose to go to Syracuse. So You know, that's kind of what Syracuse has to do. They kind of have to roll up their sleeves, get down in the mud, and grab these kids that, you know, a lot of people may not see with potential. And you look at somebody like Eric Dungy. I mean, this was a two-star guy coming out of high school in Oregon. And look at, you know, the way he left Syracuse. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the program's history. So I think the recruiting has gone pretty well up to this point, given, you know, the restrictions with this virus.
I want to get to Lampson later, but first I want to talk a bit about the defensive line. Kendall Coleman and Alton Robinson are gone, who have anchored the D-line for a long time, but Syracuse has brought in some people to replace them. How do you think they've addressed that need on the D-line in 2021?
Yeah, I think the defensive line, and it starts, you know, with the first guy to commit to this class, Terry Lockett, defensive end out of Springfield, Massachusetts. This is a young man who turned down Michigan to come here. You know, a three-star prospect. So, you know, that tweener where he's, you know, he's in between a four and a two, but you know, he's a good player. I mean, obviously, if you turn down a school like Michigan, you know, you're a pretty good player. But you look at, you know, the type of players that Syracuse has had on the defensive line. Once again, guys who have flown under the radar. I mean, Kendall Coleman, a three-star guy. You look at, you know, somebody like Josh Black, who's going to be, you know, a star on this team, regardless of how many games they play this fall. He's going to be a great player. You look at a guy like Jalen Moss, they got out of Rochester. I mean, this kid, 6'5", 265 pounds, so much untapped potential with a kid like that. I know Pittsburgh was coming in hot on his heels right before Syracuse got him. I know Boston College wanted him. I know Rutgers wanted him. I think that's a guy that you're really going to look at in a few years and say, you know, he could be an impact player out of Rochester as well. I mean, that's just right down the road. He has that pedigree of that pride of upstate New York. And I think, you know, that's a guy to watch for in this class alongside Terry Lockett off the edge.
Talking about Lockett or Greer, who they just signed, or any of the recent signees, if you had to pick one guy who could fill in that role, I know Robinson and Coleman were kind of a dual threat, but if one guy's going to supplement some of the production that's lost in the future, who are you picking?
With this 2021 class?
With the 2021 class, yes.
I've got to go with Terry Lockett off the top of my head. I mean, this is a young man who has been an under-the-radar type of player, but he's one of, if not the best, I would say, defensive lineman in the state of Massachusetts. There's some pretty good football that comes out of there. I think the Northeast altogether is a little bit underrated, if you ask me. But I think this is a young man that day one is going to compete for a starting job. He may not start right away, but I think in year two, he'll be you know, on that defensive line causing havoc. And I think Jalen Moss is a close second.
Now to switch sides of the ball, because the O-line was a major concern last year. Syracuse gave up the fourth most sacks in the FBS and the fourth most sack yardage. But they've brought in a couple of offensive line prospects, notably the Hawaiian Austin Kahiu you mentioned earlier. What's your feeling about him and his potential impact going forward?
Well, first of all, he said he chose Syracuse just because of the family, the Ohana, right? Because Dino Babers has a history in Hawaii, has a history in San Diego, Southern California. It's all relative down there anyway. But, I mean, it's great to see somebody come from that far away and feel at home, a place like Syracuse, New York, that is vastly different than Honolulu. but this is a young man, again, 6'5", 265 pounds. These are the types of players you want to bring in who have the height, the size, and you can kind of build them in the weight room. That's what Dino Babers loves to do. And I saw a list, I don't know if this was a year or two ago, of Division I football programs that get more out of less. And what does that mean? That means guys who recruiting services didn't give too many stars to. They didn't think that they were that good of a player coming out of high school. Syracuse was top 10 in the country in terms of guys that had low star ratings that ended up leaving as superstar players, i.e. Eric Dungy. You know, I think this is a young man. He's only a two-star recruit. I think Austin has a great chance to really, you know, leave his mark here. And I mean, that offensive line was absolutely horrific last year. They can only go up from there, right? So I think, you know, clearly, you know, Coach Kavanaugh and that offensive line have their work cut out for them. But I think you'll see a much better product in that department anyway on the field this year.
And Sports Illustrated recently wrote about Kahi saying that they think he could be an All-American candidate when he gets to Syracuse. What about him makes it his ceiling so high? Is it his build, or does he have specific skills as well?
I think it's his build in terms of the type of player he is. I mean, when you have that type of height along the offensive line, you can't teach that, right? I mean, that's something that you're just kind of God-given ability. And, this is a young man who felt at home so far away from home. And you look at the type of football they play in the state of Hawaii. I think anybody in, the United States or anybody in North America would look at the state of Hawaii and they wouldn't think of football first and foremost. They may think of vacationing or surfing or something like that. But this is a young man. I know I read something about his coach that said he was, he's been the leader of this football team all 4 years on varsity. And you want guys like that in your program. You can't have enough guys like that in your program. I think the sky's the limit for somebody like him. And let's be honest, this offensive line needs all the help in the world. I think he could really provide a boost.
So you mentioned in the last couple answers, both Dino Babers and Mike Cavanaugh, the offensive line coach, they each have a little bit of history on the West Coast. Do you expect Syracuse to make more strides in that territory going forward?
I think so. Absolutely. And, touching on Lamson one more time, the quarterback, a big reason for him committing to Syracuse was his relationship with Sterling Gilbert, the brand new offensive coordinator who came in from down south. I believe he was at McNeese State before he came here. And, Syracuse has a lot of guys in this coaching staff who have roots on the West Coast. So, that would be great to have more guys from across the country come into Syracuse. I mean, listen, obviously you want to grab the guys from your own backyard. I think first and foremost, you want to set up shop in the New York City, the Long Island, the New Jersey, the Massachusetts, Connecticut. You want to get those kids from the Northeast to come to Syracuse. But then after that, everything else is icing on the cake. If you can get, a three-star quarterback who had offers from Louisville and Boise State to come all the way from, the other side of the country, I think that's a win, especially for a program that, clearly had some competition in Louisville and Boise State.
So now I want to move away from the line. Going to talk skill positions, but I'm excluding QB and Lamps and stuff because I'm going to make you wait a couple more questions before we get to talk about him. Between the backs and the receivers and the tight ends that they've picked up for 2021, who are you most excited about? Who should Syracuse fans be looking out for?
First and foremost, I think Kendall Long, this receiver out of South Carolina, he's 6'3". You look back at some of the bigger wide receivers that Syracuse has had in the last few years. You think of Ishmael, you think of Custis. I mean, these are big guys who can get up and grab the football. You want somebody like that. Especially in the deep passing game, especially with somebody like Tommy DeVito, who has a big arm. He just needs the protection. I think Kendall Long is a guy that you need to look for. I think Josh Huff, another under-the-radar guy, two-star guy coming out of Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. That's just outside of Pittsburgh in Western PA. He didn't have the offers that you would think he would have, maybe a little bit undersized at 6'1", but he's a big back, 245 pounds. This is a guy who is going to carry the load. I could see eventually maybe him turning into a fullback if he doesn't trim down that weight a little bit. Again, tight end. I mean, there's good players coming in at tight end. Landon Morris, a three-star guy out of Illinois. That was a guy that they targeted very early on in this recruiting cycle, and they got him to commit. I believe another tight end, Derek McDonald. I mean, he's 6'4". Landon Morris, 6'6". I mean, these are tall, big guys that you need, especially that tight end position is more important than you think in the college game. They may not use tight ends the way that you see them in the pro game, but those guys are important because they block just as well as those offensive linemen for the most part. Those guys are needed from a blocking standpoint. But the way Dino Babers runs his offense, he'll use the tight end here and there. So I think that's a position as well that they did pretty, they were able to cover pretty well with a pair of three-star guys, one from Illinois and the other one from Georgia. So that's pretty darn good.
Do you expect Babers to use them at the same time, like maybe put McDonald and Morris on the field together in two tight end sets, or more of a battle for the starting job and the other guy might be the blocker, one guy's more of a prototypical pass catcher? What are you planning to see in formation wise?
I would say one usually at a time. I would say the only way they would put both on the line is if they're, you know, running that power eye formation, trying to, you know, punch it down your throat. But, you know, I would say for the most part, you'll see one tight end in the passing game. And, you know, somebody like Aaron Hackett, who's been pretty good the last 2 years in the passing game, you know, he's another two or three star guy coming out of South Florida who has really made a name for himself and has built himself up to his senior year, which God, you know, God willing, we hope that there is a senior year for him and all the other seniors on this team. But those tight ends, you know, they're important to Dino Babers' offense because, you know, listen, every opponent knows that they want to throw the ball deep. They want to get vertical down the field. And those tight ends are important because, you know, they cover those short and intermediate routes. I think, you know, we saw Aaron Hackett. I mean, he was one of the touchdown grab leaders on this team last year. So I think that goes to show Dino Babers wants to use the tight end, and they covered it pretty well with a pair of tall, 6'4" and above guys, both three-star recruits.
All right, you've made it. We can now finally talk about Californian quarterback Justin Lampson. He was signed 12 days ago. We're recording this on the 15th, and Orange fans lit up Twitter to see, you know, everyone's going to get excited and talk about a quarterback, but what is so specific about Lampson that people should be excited about and make Orange fans want to watch him?
Well, he's a gamer. He's a competitor. He's a guy who is almost very similar to Eric Dungy in the way where he just fires up the team. He's loud. He gets in guys' faces. That's what you want. And also, he is a dual threat quarterback. He can run just as well as he can throw the ball. I think, you know, I was talking to Mike McAllister of 24/7 Sports, you know, covers Syracuse football and basketball recruiting right after Lampson committed. And he said, listen, like, I knew first and foremost he was going to be committing at that point. But he also said, this is a guy who can run the ball just as well as he throws it. He could probably throw it a little bit better than Eric Dungy, maybe not run it as well as Dungy, but when you have those two things, as we know in the college game, that's almost what you need out of your quarterback these days. He can't be a statue back there like Eli Manning and Tom Brady and you know, Drew Brees, the old school quarterback. They got to be the new school. They got to be able to run like Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. And that's what the quarterback position has evolved into. This is a guy, again, another big dude, 6'3", 200 pounds. You know, when I talked to him, we did a Zoom call with him a couple of weeks back. He had just spent the weekend in Lake Tahoe, so it was a nice little getaway. If you don't know where Lake Tahoe is, just Google it. It's amazing. But he was able to, you know, get away after he made that decision. He said he came out to Syracuse with his mom a few weeks prior. It was the first place he came to. Walked around the campus, just kind of got a feel for everything and loved it. And then from there, he went to Louisville, and then he went to Boise State, and then he went to, you know, a few other schools on his list, San Jose State. And it just felt home. He said that Dino Babers created an atmosphere, created a relationship with him that no other coach did. And that's telling because, you know, when you're talking to a young man that's that far away on the other side of the country, you want a coach as a fan, you want a coach that is going to build a relationship with somebody that is that far away, somebody that can't just get in their car, hop in the car and come to Syracuse University. And Dino Babers is able to establish those relationships so well, to the point where Justin Lampson felt at home. I mean, you know, he shows up on SU's campus and he feels like he's still in Sacramento, California. And that's a lot to be said, but getting back to the way this guy plays and how good of a player Syracuse is getting, he is the prototypical quarterback that you want this day and age. And he's confident. He's going to command the attention of everyone in the huddle. And he's fierce. And that's what you want out of your quarterback. Again, I mean, Northern California. How many great quarterbacks have come out of Northern California? That flew under the radar, by the way. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's really all you need to
– I'm a big Green Bay Packer fan, so I know a lot about Chico, California, and Clayton Welch, who was with SU earlier. Northern California is just a hotbed for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and he knows those guys like the back of his hand. And, you know, I think he's going to have a great chance here to evolve into the player he wants to be and evolve into perhaps one of the better quarterbacks that Syracuse football has seen. Now, on the other hand, they always want to recruit a quarterback in every class because you want that competition. You want guys to compete against each other. And in this day and age, you know, one guy rises to the top, and then there's another guy who, you know, ends up transferring because he wants to play. So, you know, if somebody does beat him out in a few years, I wouldn't be surprised if he did transfer and want to go somewhere where he's going to play. But, if you know, if he does win that starting job, I think, again, sky's the limit for a guy who flew under the radar. Somebody like Louisville, a big program, flew in last minute to try to grab him. But Syracuse was able to build that relationship and gain his trust. I think that's big for a lot of these recruits, because especially when you're coming from that far across the country and, you know, the way things are now where you're not able to go on official visits, the trust is everything. And Dino Babers was able to build that in a short amount of time.
I think it'll be interesting once he gets to school, his first winter semester. I'll be sure to ask him if Syracuse still feels like Sacramento, California then.
It's going to feel a whole lot different. I hope he's – I did say that to him, like, you're going to have to bring a parka, you know, with one of the bigger jackets. And he's like, oh, I'll be fine. I was like, okay, we'll see what happens.
Do you expect him to try for that starting job as a true freshman? I know there's going to be competition, as you said, but – do you think his name will be in the mix to start right when he gets at SU?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, you know, I think it's obviously Tommy DeVito's job to lose, but, you know, why not? I mean, I think the more competition you have in the quarterback room, the better. And I know a lot of fans will say, well, you know, why are you tooting this guy's horn? I mean, there were two other quarterbacks that Syracuse whiffed on that went to other schools before they settled on Lampson. But sometimes that's just the way it works out. I mean, I'm sure Eric Dungy wasn't the first quarterback that they wanted that year, but they kind of, you know, he fell into their laps. He didn't really have the offers from schools that he was hopeful for. And, you know, the rest is history. He ended up, being one of the better quarterbacks in the program's history. I think, you know, this is a guy who has everything you want. And, you know, maybe he doesn't have the star power as of yet because he kind of flew under the radar up to this point. He was telling me a year and a half ago he was a safety on his high school team. He didn't even play quarterback until last year, and he led his team to a state championship. So, I mean, that's all you really need to know about this guy. I mean, he switched positions a year and a half ago and was able to lead his team to, you know, the top of the mountain. I mean, that's what you need to know about a guy who is classified as the, you know, one of the best competitors in the state of California.
So SU is still pursuing some recruits as we head towards August. Looking at the guys that they want but haven't signed yet, who's the most important person to you that they land before the summer's over?
I think it is Deuce Chestnut, a cornerback out of the state of New Jersey, I believe. He is a four-star recruit. There are a lot of teams after this kid. And Syracuse, from what I've seen and what I've heard, Syracuse is very high on this list. I think, you know, he's going to have he does have a lot of options here. But, you know, what does it come down to? What does it come down to with a lot of these kids on this list? The trust that Dino Babers and this coaching staff have built with these kids over time. And, a school like Rutgers is going after him in-state. A school like Pittsburgh in the Northeast, a school like Boston College, Penn State wants him. I mean, these are big programs all along the East Coast. I believe he's got an offer from Georgia. I mean, there's big schools after this kid. But Syracuse, again, there's something to be said, even though I know a lot of fans get ticked off when, you know, Syracuse doesn't land these players. But I think it's also partially a success if Syracuse is in the conversation for a lot of these recruits, because that shows that this program is doing the right thing. They're going after these kids. They're going after them hard, even though they might not land them. It brings that brand name out in a lot of these players. I think, even future classes like 2022, 2023, they see Syracuse in the mix for these 4- and 5-star kids. And, you know, maybe you land one of these kids. That would be Syracuse's highest recruit, Deuce Chestnut, a big cornerback out of the state of New Jersey. I think that would be great to land somebody like him.
Well, I will definitely keep my eye out for him over the next few weeks. Matt Hosworth, sports anchor and reporter for CNY Central. You can check him out on Twitter at @MATTHAUS_CNY. Thank you for joining us today. Hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Another thank you to Matt Hosworth of CNY Central for shining some light onto this 2021 recruiting class. And he leaves us on an interesting note talking Justin Lamson, who just signed last week or 2 weeks ago at this point. And he is, you know, he's a good quarterback, and he's someone that Syracuse football recruiting classes seem to have been missing in the last year or so. Since they signed Tommy DeVito, they've been trying to get that early cycle quarterback signing, and they missed out on a few guys this time around, but they did get a good name in Justin Lamson, and it seems like he's got a lot of upside potential.
Yeah, and Matt just said it, and it's been said a lot, the Eric Dungy comparison. And where I take the biggest takeaway from that is not – the Dungy comparison of necessarily the on-field style of play, even though he is a dual threat quarterback, a similar size, could even grow to be about Dungy size. But I think what you really get with this signing is the personality. I mean, Matt said it, Justin Lamson was a safety and then he converted to quarterback and led his team to a state championship. He's a natural leader. He's someone that has been known to have a big personality. He wants to be the main guy. He wants to put all the responsibility on himself. And that's something that Eric Dungy did so well for this program and something that you hope a guy like Lamson can do in the future. But it's not just him. I think the significance of the West Coast recruit is big as well. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of schools a lot closer to home that Justin Lamson could have gone to. And even when you're talking ones that are kind of in the middle, like Louisville, who jumped in late, that's a school with a big reputation. We know what they've done with a dual threat quarterback at Louisville. They, you know, Syracuse knows a lot about dual threat quarterbacks at Louisville. Not to mention
Lamar Jackson go 8,000 yards against Syracuse.
And he casually wears a chain of him hurdling a Syracuse defender. But I've totally forgotten about the whole thing. And, you know, Syracuse beat out San Jose State, Sacramento State, who's in Lamson's hometown. He's right from Sacramento. So I think considering everything with the lack of visits and the COVID getting in the way of everything with recruiting, to pick a quarterback from Northern California and get him to come to Syracuse, that's a major win for Dino Babers.
Yeah, and I think it's a really nice recruit as a whole because it kind of shows that, you know, the new guys coming in are able to do this. This is a recruit that Sterling Gilbert took over and Mike Lynch were the A and B recruiters on this. So two brand new faces were really the guys that were able to reel him in, a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator. So it's fresh faces on the recruiting trail that was able to sign Lamson. So a really good sign for the new system that's starting to be put into place and Dino Babers starting for the first time to make some changes as his assistant coaches. So good to see that worked out in their favor in terms of this signing. And you said that comparison to Dungy, not necessarily on the field, but in terms of those leadership skills are awesome. In an interview that Lamson had with Matt Hosworth earlier or about a week ago, he said they're getting a competitor and a leader when he was asked to describe what Syracuse fans and what his teammates are going to get. This is a guy that's going to be pushing people in the weight room. He's going to be able to lift players up, whether he's the number one talent in the country, obviously not. But he's going to be a guy that can lift Syracuse, and I think he's going to be a really good team player and a guy that you're going to want taking snaps because I think he's going to end up being a gamer. He's going to have that gamer mentality that you saw Dungy kind of be able to thrive off of. Not the most skilled guy, but he wanted to compete. He wanted to play, and I think that could be what you get out of Lamson. And not to mention, he's a strong dual-threat quarterback. I think he excels on the run. He seemed really smart. After everything I've watched of him, he seems like he knows when to get out of the pocket, when to stay put, and he's found a rhythm. He can throw off his back foot. He can throw set. He can throw on the run, and he can tuck. He's got good mobility, good speed. So he's going to be a guy that is going to be able to kind of fit into this high-energy, high-speed offense that Syracuse has built in the Dino Babers era.
Yeah, the grit and will to win cannot be understated. I mean, even when Syracuse won 10 wins in 2018, they were often underdogs that season. I remember watching them, and it was just kind of a feeling around campus of how do they keep winning? How do they keep bringing this on? You need that determination and that leader who thinks that, you know what, it doesn't matter that we are, you know, a team full of 3-4 2-star recruits and Clemson has 11 5-star recruits on the field. They're guys and we're guys and anyone can win a football game. And I think if Lamson can bring that, it's not to point fingers at anyone specific, but it felt like the Orange lacked a little bit of that determination this year. They got down early and they weren't able to fight back. And I think just bringing some fight and some real winning personality into the program is going to be helpful in the long run.
Well, you heard what Hosworth said. He said that this could be an all-time great quarterback for Syracuse. He could be a guy that you start to name when you're listing off the best, along the likes of Dungy, along the likes of Ryan Nassib, to go back to McNabb, to go back to McPherson, all of these big-time names. And to see, you know, a guy who knows his stuff say that if things work out and a couple of things fall in his place, Justin Lamson could be joining that quarterback conversation towards the end of his career. So a lot of upside potential for him. And that's something that, you know, you're just going to have to wait and see. He's still got his senior year of high school left. He's going to have to play another year under Tommy DeVito. So it'll be interesting to see when he takes over what he's able to do. But I mean, he's got a lot of really good traits going for him. And that's exactly what you want to see in a quarterback signing to help lead a class and to help continue to rebuild a program that has made some strides but is still falling a little bit short. And I think that's a really good spot to wrap up the episode. It's been a fun one. We got to chat with some brand new faces and look into a bunch of new brand new faces. And if there's anyone new you'd want us to reach out to us on social media at Ostrom Avenue Pod on Twitter. If you want us to ask our interviews certain questions, find certain interviews of new guys that you've never heard from, or to, you know, explore a certain topic, let us know. You can DM us, tweet at us. We love to hear what you guys think and what you guys want to hear. And if you like what you're hearing, give us a rating on your podcast subscription app, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a nice little review. If you like what you hear, it goes a long way, and we'd greatly appreciate it. For Ben Shulman, I'm Owen Valentine. This has been the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe. We'll catch you next week.